Buddy,
Morning.
we're going to be discussing a boss's cigar also today. We started a little bit last week already, and so we'll just catch up a little bit. Just thinking, I don't know, maybe I'll ask them for their opinion, whether we should have tea or not next week because it's Hanukkah. From my point of view, it's fine. There are people feel they're not going to be available. I think as of now, unless people tell me otherwise, we will be having shemitz. Okay. So on the subject of embosses. Embosses is something which is in and of itself not muktzah, and now it has muktzah on top of it, and therefore it is serving the muktzah that's on top of it. Doesn't really matter whether the muktzah is placed on it, hang on it, it hangs something on something else. You have a coat stand, which hang a handbag on it, so the coat stand can become a boss's handbag that's hanging on it. Doesn't make a difference whether it's placed or hanging, but if the one is serving the other, then it's possible, I say possible because there's conditions, that the non-mukta item becomes a bosses to the mukta item and will take on the status of the mukta item. Meaning if until now that bosses was not mukta, it will become mukta and become mukta to the degree that the mukta itself is. So if the mukta that you've placed on the bosses is a kli shemelach de le'isur, so the bosses won't become more than a kli shemelach de le'isur, which means that you can still move a toko from a kovach for its own purpose in the place. If the mukta that's on the bosses is mukta machas gufo or machas kesar and kesar, one of the other types of mukta, then it will become the same as that, will be full mukta and cannot be moved for any reason. That is a bosses that takes on the status of the item that's placed on it. If the item that's placed on it for whatever reason does not cause it to become a bosses, there's still a problem. I can't move mukta on Shabbos. And just because the mukta is sitting on something, I have a garanim shells, peels that are on a bowl. The garanim peels, when there's no more garanim inside, we spoke as an example of mukta machmas gufoi. They're on a plate. The plate is something that's not mukta. It doesn't become a bosses. We'll see. There are times that it could, but let us say it didn't become a bosses. It doesn't mean I can now walk around with a plate and carry the garanim peels, because that's still a problem of moving mukta. But if for whatever reason the garanim peels disappeared, then the plate is now a regular plate and doesn't get a status of mukta. Whereas something that became a bosses through the rules of what we call a bosses, then that item will become mukta, and even if the mukta that caused it to become a bosses is removed, it will remain mukta. So let's talk about two examples. You have your candlesticks on your table. Your candlesticks are on your table for the duration of Ben HaShemashos. Your table becomes the bosses to the candlesticks. Your table becomes mukta. You can't move your table. You can eat on it, but you can't move it. If you had your challah on the table and your candlesticks, which is one of the examples of avoiding something becoming a bosses, then your table but does not become a bosses. But you still can't move the table because the candlesticks are on them and you can't move candlesticks. But if someone removed the candlesticks from the table, either the wind, a child, or a goy, or the owner himself by mistake, irrelevant of how it was removed, then the table is no longer mukta, the table can be moved. So that's what we mean with something, the difference between something having mukta on it but doesn't get a din of a bosses, or something which, as a result of the mukta on it, gets a din of a bosses. It itself becomes mukta and will remain mukta the whole Shabbos, irrelevant of whether the mukta stayed there or not. Now we'll discuss how bosses comes about. So we started with a couple of conditions we mentioned in last week. We'll go through them again. So number one is that when the mukta item is placed on the non-mukta item, it has to be done either by the owner or with his knowledge, or at least in a way that we know that he wouldn't be back there. Because we have a rule, Ein Adam Oseh Davar She'en Shelo, which means that a person cannot create an issur into something which is not his. I can make a neder that my chair is also for everybody to use, because it's my item and I can create an issur on this item and no one can use it. But I can't do the same thing to someone else's chair and say, oh, this chair is now also no one may use it, because I can't create something like that, a halachic status onto something that I don't own. Therefore, to place a mukta item on top of something else and make the lower item into a bosses is tolu on, it is reliant on the knowledge and acceptance of the owner. So if a guest was in my house and left his camera lying on my table, And I wasn't very happy about it. The fact that the camera was left there on purpose by the guests for the whole Ben Ashmoshes does not make my table into mukta. And if I remove that camera somehow or other, then my table does not remain mukta. So it has, number one, is it has to be that the owner knows about it, knows and is and understand and done with his consent. The second thing is that the idea of placing it there was because you placed it there to stay there for Shabbos, or this is where something normally is kept. I keep, example, I have my stationery always in the same box. So even though I didn't put it in there and say, oh, I want this to stay here for Shabbos, but because this is its place, so therefore it's as if I put it in there and say, oh, it should stay here for Shabbos. Therefore the box that the stationery is in automatically gets the din of a bosses. So if for whatever reason a kid came along and tipped the box over, now the box has been emptied of the stationery, and now he wants to use the box as a toy, so you should know the box remains mukta. What age the kid is and what are we going to tell him not to use the box, to use the box, or you know, how you're going to tell him to tidy up the mess he made is a separate story of chinuch, but we'll leave that for now. But the box does not be, the box is a boss's and cannot be moved like any other mukta. There's another condition, is that the boss's is there to hold up the mukta and not the mukta to hold up the boss's. I'll give an example. A simple case is, as I said, you have your stationery in the box. The box is there to hold the stationery. But we have an interesting case that's brought down in Hilchos Hatzmona. When you have a pot and you want to keep everything inside the pot warm, so you take something, some insulating material, let us say you take balls of cotton wool, and you wrap your pot in cotton wool. Now let us say you used the type of cotton wool that the Gemara uses a lot, and the Halacha uses, talks about muchin. Muchin is it's fibers that are in a clump that are not prepared yet for use in material, but it can be used for insulation, used for stuffing, and things like that. So I'm just comparing it to cotton wool. If it has a purpose, you want to keep it as is because you want to then sell it on or use it for something else. So right now it gets a bin of mukta machmas chesaron kis. We said that if I have an item that generally a dress is not mukta, but if I have it in my shop and I want to sell it, it is mukta. It's not there for me to use, it's there for me to sell, and selling is also on Shabbos, and therefore it becomes mukta machmas chesaron kis. I would not use the dress for anything else. So if you have muchin that are set aside for resale, and came Erev Shabbos and I needed to do hatmona on my pot, and my regular hatmona got lost, got dirty, got destroyed, or whatever the case, so I quickly ran and took another one from the shop with the intention that after Shabbos I put it back into the shop. If I took it out and said, fine, it's now mine and then I'm going to keep it here, fine, so then it's not mukta. But let us say you had intention to put it back in the shop after Shabbos, so it retains its mukta status, so you've now wrapped your pot in something that's mukta. That's the bottom line. So the question is, A, how do you remove the pot? So that's a whole discussion. Hilchos Hatmona, that you've got to do a tilt on the natzad, you have to push the muchin aside in order to get the pot out. That's a separate issue. But the issue I'm bringing up over here is the pasuk asks, wait, if I put these muchin, this type of lap of ball of fibers, this cotton wool, on top of my pot, shouldn't the pot become a basis to the muchin? Because what's holding up? The pot is holding up the muchin. And we say no. Because who's serving who? The muchin is there to keep the pot warm. It's not that the pot, I placed a pot in my kitchen to hold up my muchin. No, that's not what I did. I did not use my pot as a muchin stand. Rather, I used my muchin as a material to keep my pot warm. So who's serving who? The pot is not serving the muchin, and therefore you don't say the pot becomes a boss. Whereas the box that my stationery was in, the box is there to serve the station, and the station is mukta. The box can become a box. That was rule number three. Rule number four is that when I put my mukta item on top of a non-mukta item, I'm putting it there for das. I'm putting it there willingly. I know it's going to be there, and I know it's going to stay there. That's it. You put the stationery into the box. Not like I need the box or something else. Then I know it's going to stay there, which would be a big difference to, for example, you're changing into your Shabbos clothing. So you're taking off your weekday clothing and preparing your Shabbos clothing on Friday afternoon, and you see you have mukta in your pockets, you have a bustik, you have a rub cup, you have wallet, your coin, something in your pocket. You take it out and you throw it down onto a surface. What surface is the closest in your bedroom? Your bed. You now threw your wallet down onto your bed, and your bed has money in it. So do you say your bed becomes the boss to that money? So there we say no, because that's considered shofar. You didn't put it there with intent to leave it there the whole Shabbos. Could be that if, say, you were getting chains in your guest room, and you weren't having guests at Shabbos, and you often do this. Why I say often is because not that often is a condition, but it means that you don't... you know that the bed is not going to be used, the linen is not going to be used, the blanket is not going to be used, and you take out, you empty your pockets, and you drop your wallet onto the pillow on the bed. So then it's b'meniach. Then I place it there knowing it's going to stay the whole Shabbos. I don't have time to tidy it up, and I say, you know what, I'm leaving it there for now. No one's anywhere going into this room, and Moitzei Shabbos, I'll tidy up. If you do that, that's considered b'meniach. That means I put it there with intention to stay. But if I threw something on my bed with the intention of removing it before Shabbos comes in, but I was late and running this and that, the candles in the floor, and there was a siren, and they were, and I didn't manage to remove it, that's called shecher. That's called that I forgot it. The difference to halacha is that meniach becomes a bosis, shecher doesn't. So, in the case of where you threw your wallet onto the pillow in the guest room, with the intention of leaving it there and cleaning it up on Motzei Shabbos, now your neighbor knocks on the door, and says, listen, I got unexpected guests for Shabbos. Do you have a spare pillow? Oh, of course, take the one from my guest room. No, that you cannot do. That pillow is mukta. And even if your wallet was removed for whatever reason, grandson came in and decided to help himself, nevertheless, it got a status of a basis. That pillow is mukta, and you cannot move it on Shabbos. Whereas, if you have mukta on your bed and on your blanket, so there, we say it was b'shecher, you had forgotten it there, and therefore it's not considered as creating a basis. And all you need to do is get rid of the mukta, and then you can sleep in the bed. How would you rid the mukta? That's what we mentioned last week. This is a thing that's called ni'ur, shaking something off. You don't manhandle the mukta itself, but you can lift the blanket and let it fall, and if you want, kick it under the bed. It doesn't get in the way, because moving with your foot is not a problem. So then, you can shake off the money, and then the blanket is not a basis, and you can sleep in your bed and use the blanket, the pillow, whatever, without a problem. So, that is the difference between meniach and shecher. Now, meniach also has another condition, that there has to be a certain amount of time that you leave it there. If you intend on leaving something on over Shabbos, but only for partial, so it depends how much of the partial Shabbos it is, we'll see in a moment. So, number one, we said that it's got to be done with purpose. You put it there knowing it's going to stay there. Even if you put it there on a Monday morning, but you know that this is where it stays and it's going to leave there, and therefore if someone taps you on the shoulder and say, is that item going to be there on Shabbos? And you say, sure, of course it is. So you didn't think about Shabbos when you put it down. But we know that this is what a person intended, is to leave it there for Shabbos. That is considered as near. That's not just forgotten about it. That is his intention when he put it down. So it has to be put down in, so to speak, intentionally, and that it should remain there for the whole duration of Ben Hashmashes. If his intention is to remove it before Ben Hashmashes, like I said, the example of the wallet that you threw on your bed as you're getting changed for Shabbos clothing, going off to the shower, you threw your wallet onto your bed, so then your intention was not to leave it there because you want to sleep in that bed tonight, and you really want to move it before the siren goes off, before Shkia. And you didn't, for whatever reason, got too busy, forgot it. That is considered shecher, your bed is not a basis. Or, if you put it down, and you didn't even think about when you're going to take it off. But, the idea was that you didn't put it down to leave it there, because that's not where it stays. Your wallet doesn't stay in your bed. So you weren't thinking, but you put it down. Let us say it was Friday morning, not Friday afternoon. You put it down, sometime during the day, I'll remove it. Didn't get that far, didn't think about it. Again, that's considered shecher. Or, even if you put it down with the intention of removing it 5 minutes after Shkia, before the end of Ben Hashmashes. That means that you had no intention for this item to remain in the whole of Ben Hashmashes. How would that be? Let us say, for example, you have a goy that's coming to your house and says, can I please use your bus ticket? It's a far-fetched example, but just an example. And you say, sure, what time are you coming? The goy says, I'm coming at 5 minutes after Shkia. So you take the bus tickets, the Rav Kav, whatever it is, and you put it on top of something else by the front door, and knowing that when the guy comes in, he's going to take it off that item. So your intention of putting it down was purely for 5 minutes after Shkia and not for the whole duration of Benish Moshes. So even if the guy came late or the guy didn't show up or whatever the case would be and was left there, that is not considered as having putting it down on purpose to stay there for the whole Benish Moshes, because the intention was to have it removed beforehand. It's removed, doesn't, can be in whichever way it was done. So I gave an example of a guy taking it, but that's fine. Or even if you placed it somewhere with intention to leave it, but physically it was removed, you put that, as I said, you put that wallet on the pillow in your guest room, leaving it till Motzei Shabbos. Your grandson got there a lot quicker than you realized, and about 5 minutes after Shkia, he'd already raided your guest room and got hold of your wallet, and pillow cards were spread all over the floor so nicely. Then the pillow doesn't become mukta, because physically the mukta wasn't on top of it for the whole duration of Benish Moshes. Another example is if it was placed on Shabbos itself and not Benish Moshes. Again, it's blame the grandson. He got hold of your wallet, and now he put it on your bed. Now, even if it was done with your encouragement, you know, you saw him take your wallet apart and he's taking out the credit card and the driver's license. Next, he's going for the bills and the coins, and you convince him to put it down in this place, and he puts it down. So now he put it down with your encouragement, and you knew about it. So it's not a question of someone else doing this in your house without your permission. You told him to put it there. Nevertheless, it was placed on Shabbos and not Benish Moshes. It does not create a bosses, which would mean that if somehow it was removed from that place, the item would not become a bosses and goes back to its original status. So in all these examples, we're talking about something which was a mukta item was placed on another bosses, was placed on another item, and we were discussing whether it becomes a bosses or not. Even if you fulfill the condition of mania, that it was done on purpose with the intention, knowingly, that it would stand there for Shabbos. But for whatever reason, either your intention wasn't for the whole Benish Moshes or didn't stay there for the whole Benish Moshes, so then the lower item does not become the bosses and remains in its original status. You can't move the mukta, you can shake the mukta off, and once you've done that, then you can move it as you can move it normally on a regular Shabbos. There is an opinion, and we bring this in just so that people should know that there's mokum to be mekel. There is an opinion that holds that a bosses is only when you leave something on it for the duration of the whole 24 hours of Shabbos. But if you put it there with the intention that sometime during Shabbos it's going to be removed on purpose, you know the guy's come to pick up something on Shabbos morning, not too much 5 minutes after Shkia, too much Shabbos morning, it's not there for the whole Shabbos. There is an opinion that holds that in such a case it also doesn't become a bosses. We do not trust in such an opinion. But in the case of need, the makom hefsed, if there would be a loss involved, something like that. So if you were machmir, so then we'd allow a person to be mekel to rely on such a shiva. Another condition in the creation of a bosses is that the mukta item must be more chashuv than the non-mukta item. Your candlesticks on your table are very chashuv, therefore your candlesticks can create a bosses and make the table into a bosses. Your wallet has money inside it, which is valuable. You left it on the pillow with intention, then the pillow, and the pillow is not that expensive, then the pillow will become a bosses. But if it's the other way around, where the mukta item is very of very low value in relation to the item that it is being placed on a hang on, then it would not become mukta. We say that in relation to if you hang some mukta on the back of your door, you have a hook on the back of your door, and you hang mukta on the hook that's on the back of your door, we say your door is so hot, it's part of your house, that nothing can make your door into a bosses. Your door is non-mukta, and you can open and close the door on Shabbos without a problem. Or another example is if someone left a very low value coin on your table's worth a lot more than a 10 agorah coin, but wouldn't the 10 agorah coin wouldn't make your table into a bosses. Now the other thing, the Gabi, what's considered more chashuv or less chashuv, also has to do with the fact, not so much in its pure market value, it also has to do with how chashuv it is in your eyes. Something which is important to you right now can have a higher value than something which is less important to you right now. Therefore, we talk about very often by using your chalas to put them on the table. We'll see them in a moment. But okay, let's get to the next stage and then we'll bring it in. And that is that for something to become a bosses, it needs to have mukta on it, and just mukta. if it has multiple items on it, now we have to weigh up the value of the multiple items. If it's just muksa, just your candlesticks on the table and nothing else, your table can become muksa. But if you have other things on the table, you have your dishes, which are non-muksa, so then we have to weigh up and see what's more choshev to you. Rather than the choshev, it's hard to weigh it up. But one of the things the pasuk say is that if you have the chalas on the table, and that's one of the reasons why the minhag to put chalas on the table already from before Shabbos, then your table doesn't become a bosos. Now, even if you go buy the most expensive chalas that they are, on a monetary value, they're usually not going to cost more, even with inflation and everything, they're still not going to cost more than silver candlesticks. So how can you say that your chalas are more kosher than your candlesticks, and therefore the table does not become a bosos? We're saying that it's got to be that the non-mukta item must be at least of equal or greater chashivos to the mukta item in order to avoid the creation of a bosos. And the answer is because it's not, as I said a moment ago, it's not to do with the intrinsic monetary value, but rather how choshev it is in your eyes. Something that you is important to you. You cannot have your Shabbos meal without Lecha Mishneh, so that becomes very important to your keeping of Shabbos, and therefore it has a high value of importance, and therefore considered more choshev than the candlesticks, and the table does not become muktzah if you have candlesticks and challah on the table. What's also interesting is on this thing, if you have two items on your table, two items on your bosses, like we said, you have your candlesticks and your challahs, but your table does not become muktzah. The challahs only have to stay on the table during Ben Hashmashos, because the table cannot turn into a bosses. A bosses cannot be made after Ben Hashmashos. So, if you place your challah and candlesticks on the table before Shabbos comes in, you leave them there for the duration of Ben Hashmashos. Then after Ben Hashmashos, you remove the challah. You want them warm, you go put them on top of your chicken soup pot or whatever you do to keep them warm. Not a problem. Your table does not become a bosses. When the candles are removed from the table, however they are removed, the table can then be moved and is not treated as a bosses, because during Ben Hashmashos, it didn't have all the conditions of bosses, because if muktzah wasn't there alone, or wasn't there as more choshev than other things, and therefore, even though the bread later was removed, the challah was later removed, it doesn't revert into a bosses. And this is not, as we said, a bosses can be created by hanging something or by placing something. Like we said, if you have a coat rack and you have your handbag hanging on a coat rack, could be that the coat rack now becomes a bosses. If you put it there, the meniach, and there's nothing else hanging there. If you have your fur coat hanging there and you have your handbag and it's very little muktzah inside, it's just your rav cup, could be your coat rack would not become a bosses because the coat is worth more than the handbag. But it also, we spoke about placing and hanging. It doesn't have to be that both items are both hanging or both items are both placed. One could be placed, one could be hanging. They both fit into the rules of creating a bosses. One more rule about bosses is that a bosses is only the item where the mukta is put on it. But if it's put on an appendix to an item, then only the appendix will become mukta and not the item itself. An example brought lahalacha is if you have clothing with a pocket inside. If the pocket is not an integral part of the clothing, but rather it's a separate pocket that is sewn in by its edges. For example, a shirt pocket is part, they take part of the shirt and you add a patch of material. So then the pocket is made half, one side is the shirt, one side is the material that you've added. So that is a pocket that is part of the shirt. And when you put mukta in that pocket, then the whole shirt becomes the boss's mukta that's in that pocket. Whereas a different type of pocket, like you would have in a coat, a jacket, a pair of pants, trousers, and call it, there the pocket is a separate item. Two pieces of material sewn together, or one folded over, whatever it is. And then the lip of that item is then sewn into a garment. So it's considered as a separate item in and of itself. So if you left money in a pocket, in a garment over Shabbos, and let us say you've got a purpose, your weekday coat, and you kept your bus ticket in the pockets, and now for whatever reason you want to wear this weekday coat, what's within the coat does not become a boss's, because the pocket becomes a boss's, but not the coat. Because we don't say that the extended piece extends itself, the dinner boss's extends itself to the main piece. So as long as you don't be metalto of the pocket, which is in itself, which is not really shiny, because you don't carry the pocket, you carry the coat, and the pocket is bottled to the coat, so you don't get a case of bosses over there. There's a separate problem that you're not supposed to use mukta. If you need to use this coat, if you left coins or a bus ticket in the pocket of the coat, so even if it was done by maniach, even if it was done on purpose, it was there for the holo ben shmoshes, and you had intention to leave it there, as I said, it was your weekday coat, you had no thought of wearing it on Shabbos. But now you need to, the coat is not a bosses, it can be worn, there's a separate issue of the mukta in the pocket, so you need to empty the pockets. You can't put your hand in and grab the mukta and take it out, that would be moving it directly, which is not allowed. But you can turn the pocket inside out and allow the mukta to fall. It will be another example of nior, of shaking something out. And then you can go ahead and use the mukta, and use the coat without any problems. But another example given in halacha is when you have a drawer that is underneath a table. It makes a difference what type of drawer it is. If you have a drawer that is not removable in the general sense that drawers just get pulled all the way out and then they fall out, but rather it's, you know, some sort of stuffer that stops it from coming out. So, and you have mukta in that drawer. So you have a table, underneath it you have a drawer. It would be like an office desk, for example, or a kitchen table we had, and it had a drawer underneath it, that cutlery in it. If you had such a drawer and you had mukta, so you have an office table and you have a drawer and you keep your stationery in the drawer becomes a bosses, so that's stationary. But the table doesn't become a bosses stationary, because the drawer and the table are two separate items, and the table is not a bosses to the drawer, and therefore, I thought the drawer is separate. But it's a separate item, and the drawer becomes bottle for the table, the table looks as a result. So that's I think that's brought us to the end of the section, as in the definition of a bosses, and then we will discuss in next week. We're going to what can you do with that, what can you not do, how can you get avoided, how can you pass, when do you shake it off, etc. And we'll leave for next week, but that is a little hold it here for this week. That is the definitions of a bosses and the various rules that when it applies and when it doesn't apply. And with that, we wish everybody a wonderful day, a great week, and a little
bit of
and Metz Hashem, unless people tell me that it doesn't work next week, Metz Hashem, it will be sheer again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.